Our scripture this morning is taken from Acts chapter 15, beginning with verse 22, living a changed life. Looking into the book of Acts, looking at chapter 15, the council at Jerusalem, a bunch of men came down from Judea and began teaching circumcision. That's the only way to be saved. And then Paul and Barnabas met and tried to correct them of this. And that's why this is known as the Jerusalem Council. So from this teaching, Paul was, and Barnabas and many of the spiritual leaders at that time was teaching them the correct way of living. And it's through a changed life, faith in Christ Jesus. So this is kind of a follow-up from last Sunday, proper usage of God's name. And Paul dealt with a lot of immoral issues in the church and in that air. Sometimes I think the conditions were worse then they are now, but they're bad enough today in our society, aren't they? The issues and the mortality that they exist today in our society. So follow on with me as I begin with verse 22, which says, "Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, Judas called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading them among the brethren. And they sent this letter by them, the apostles and the brethren who are elders, to the brethren in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, who are from the Gentile, greetings. Since we have heard that some of our number, to whom we gave no instructions, have disturbed you with their words, unsettling your soul. It seemed good to us, having become one mind, to select men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will also report the same thing by the word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials." Now, trying to think about what's going on in this particular chapter and how it applies to our lives today. You know, when I got saved, and when you got saved, you got a new heart. You got a brand new heart. Now, not a physical heart, but you got a new spiritual heart. God changed it. But you can't see my heart, and I can't see your heart. Now, God gave me faith. He gives you faith. And we should be able to see that correctly. Correct? You can't see our heart, but we should be able to see each other's faith in Christ Jesus. So the only thing that gives outward testimony to what's on the inside is what I do or what I say or what you do or what you say. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, it says, "Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." So, looking at that verse, that means that God knows our heart, doesn't he? He knows us inside and out. He's more concerned about our heart, their inward condition of our lives, rather than the outward appearance. What are we most concerned about sometimes? Outward appearance, aren't we? That's why we spend so much on the external cosmetics and all that stuff. Well, men, we don't, though, do we? We just get up and think we look good and go on. Don't even have to comb my hair anymore. Just wash it. Brenda says, "Oh, you always look great." Don't you say that? Sure. So, knowing that, why did God leave us here on this earth after we got saved? Why does he leave us here after we get saved? And I think a lot about that sometimes, and I've been asked that a lot sometimes from a lot of people. And I do believe that he has left us here so that we can reach people. He wants us to reach people. And since man does not look on the outward appearance, or looks on the outward appearance, it matters how we live. So, there was two men talking one day, and one man said to the other, "Are you saved?" He asked him that. Has anyone ever asked you that, if you're saved? What was you doing if they did? But if anybody's ever asked you, this man was asked, "Are you saved?" And the man said, "Why would you ask me that? I could tell you anything I want. It's easy to say, yes, I am." But he says, "But you don't ask, if you want to really know if I'm saved, ask my wife, and she'll tell you." So what he's saying, it's how I treat my wife or anyone else. And it has a bearing on what's on the inside, the heart. So, and she'll tell you if I'm a Christian or not. That's a good statement there. So, I don't think he was saying that being good would make him a Christian, but that being a Christian would make him a better husband, a better father, maybe a better worker, a better neighbor, and that if it doesn't, then something is wrong, isn't it, in our lives. So, I want us to look this morning at some principles that help us to know that we are living a changed life. And these are necessary things to know whether or not we're living a changed life. And the first one is to maintain a moral responsibility to ourselves. Now, it begins with ourselves. So we must maintain a moral responsibility to ourselves. And that was stated a while ago. The moral situation back in Paul's and Silas's day were pretty bad. They were pretty bad, and the moral standard was very low in that day. And most of the believers were saved out of a pagan worship. And then when you look in the Old Testament and study all the prophets and what they wrote and what they went through, you know, God was always warning the Jews to stay away from pagan nations. And even in the New Testament, they had to deal with pagan situations. Most of these believers were saved out of that pagan worship, and much were sexual immorality. So, the priestesses were immoral in their practices and even in their worship. So, now, as I was mentioning, the Jerusalem Council says to these new believers, abstain from fornication, live a clean life, pure moral life that's brand new to you. That's what they were saying to these new believers. Now, we live in a day, once again, of very loose morals. And all of us included, new Christians, have to be totally retaught because we're being deceived by the world that anything goes and it's no big deal. But it is a big deal to God. There's an article that quoted hotel managers saying that the number of unmarried couples checking in together has skyrocketed and is off the charts in this article. Even if the manager doesn't approve of it, they can't turn down the business because such large part of their business is whoever comes through the door. So years ago, that was considered a shame, and though it always happened at some level, they at least had to lie about it and check with Mr. and Mrs. Immoral. I didn't want to add names in there because that's who they are, Mr. and Mrs. Immoral. I just stuck that in there that way. I mean, I could have said, you know, somebody's name, but it might be somebody in here, your name. So we can't use names, but the Bible knows about the immoral things of life and teaches us and how bad it is. But now they don't even try to cover it up. Most people just makes it known. That's our society has come to that. Movies and shows on TV, they don't hold it back. They just put it out there anymore. But we don't have to watch it, do we? We don't have to partake and be a part of that. And that's why the Bible says abstain from anything of appearance of evil. Now, that's the culture in which we live today. But God says to you and me in 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. So, we're to live a different standard. Christians are to live a different standard, march the beat of a different drum. We must do that in our society today because the Lord expects Christians to live according to what He has given us here to safeguard our lives from destruction. So, those new believers here in our text today could have continued on their immoral practices and still fit in their world, but they needed to know that what was displeasing to God, and they needed to maintain a different moral life. Last week I spoke about using God's name properly. We still have profanity in our society today. You hear it every day. How many of you hear it every day? From somewhere, somehow. And when I hear it, I just turn and go the opposite direction. And we all should. And many of you are immersed in it in your workplace or at school maybe or wherever you go. It's common that many don't even know that they're doing it anymore. It just comes so natural. I heard some young girls here recently just swearing off a bunch of names, and I thought, man, that's just untactful, unnecessary for young people to pick up that language. And whether or not it's at home or wherever they hear it, they make it a practice as well. And I'm not ashamed to say that I'm still offended by it. Freedom of speech was never intended to include moral offensive speech, and we need to be careful about that. Not long ago, maybe years ago, restaurants would ask when you entered, smoking or non? Now, I think they should add a whole new category, cussing or none. And have a section where they let everyone that sit and swear at each other. And they should let us who don't want to hear it sit in a different section. We should all be offended by that when we hear it, because we have our ears and the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit to teach us the positive things that God wants us to know. So when we get saved, we have a moral responsibility to clean up our lives, and that includes our mouths. Whether or not you have been saved a while or last few months or years, it should not be a part of your lifestyle. During the horse and buggy days, many of you remember that, the horse and buggy days, and we still have those, don't we? A man was 2 hours late getting home, and his wife began to quiz him over and over and over. Where have you been the last 2 hours? You're supposed to have been home 2 hours ago. He said, well, okay, since you want to know, I was driving down the road here, and I saw our preacher. He was walking, needed a ride, so I picked him up. And that's why I'm late. Well, what does that have to do with picking up the preacher? He said, well, this is what it is. The mules did not understand a word I said after I picked him up. And it made me 2 hours late. So even animals pick up on it, right? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use edifying. You see, pick up on that word edifying. So whatever comes out of our mouth should be uplifting and edifying to the people. So we're talking about ourselves right now. We're also looking at other people's. What comes out of our mouth should be uplifting, not tearing down, and not smearing or smearing the name of Jesus or what we stand for or what the church stands for or what society should stand for, but edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Now, grace, who extends grace to each one of us? God. So if we extend, he extends. It might be someone who needs to know about Christ. Unto the hearers, it says, unto those who hear you. So if Christians go around saying stuff that's not very tactful or profanity, and others are listening in on it, then they would be like this one man, are you saved? Are you practicing what you know that you should? See, Christians have a moral responsibility as a temple of God. See, our bodies, our lives are a temple of God. To guard our bodies, our tongues, our eyes, our ears, and even the Bible says our thoughts. And whatever goes into our mind sometimes comes out, or sometimes is rooted here in our hearts. And yes, we're saved by grace, but that does not give us a license to sin. Now, let's move on to maintain an ethical responsibility to others. See, this is a primary teaching of this passage right here. To maintain an ethical responsibility to others. That believers should be willing to give up their rights to for the sake not offending others. See, the Jewish legalists here gave up their self on the Gentile believers having to be circumcised. They were imposing that upon them. They said, you got to be circumcised to be saved. And the Gentiles gave up some of their dietary habits for the purpose of not offending the Jewish brethren. So it was kind of a battle. It was a conflict going on. And Paul and Barnabas stepped in and said, okay, let's come to a reasonable decision here. Let's look at what the Word of God says. And they led in that discussion. And it was a good compromise. And some things that we should never compromise is like doctrine. Paul would say, never compromise about doctrine. Whatever lines up or what our lives should always line up what the Word of God says. But there were all believers, and yet from different backgrounds and cultures, and they needed to find some common ground of that fellowship. And that's what Paul and them was moving towards. Have you ever dropped a pebble in a pond? A big rock, maybe. But you can just get the smallest little pebble, just very small, and drop it in water. What happens? It creates a ripple, doesn't it? It sure does. And there's a ripple effect that grows wider and it spreads far out. It just keeps going and going and going. And the same happens when we get saved. Our salvation is about a new relationship we form with God. And it's an intimate relationship. It's something that's good. Rand Hooten this morning in our deacons meeting read from Genesis when God created the new heavens and earth and everything within it. And he said, it's very good. Well, see, our lives should be very good. And our fellowship with him. And it affects every other relationship that we have when we have our lives in sync with God. So, now we need to maintain a spiritual responsibility to the Lord. When you know that you've been saved, when you know how much you were saved from, when you know how much you've been saved unto, you don't mind giving up some things for the sake of Christ. Sometimes we got to give up things. Sometimes we need to empty ourselves so God can fill us up with his living water. See, when you remember that he gave up, it makes it easier. He gave up his life. It should make it easier for us. He did it for love. And when we truly love someone, we'll make changes to them. Won't we? When we truly love someone, you know, we have to change our ways sometime. Because it's important that we have things in common. And what a privilege it is to give up some habits. And I'm saying bad habits. Some good habits we need to pick up. To forgive some hurts. To get over some hang-ups. To make some changes in our life. To develop a new vocabulary. To find some new things. And by the way, last Sunday we talked about the proper use of the Lord. How many of you made some changes this past week? Maybe slipped up a little bit because of the old nature. You see, we can make changes in our life and we know what we need to do because we practice things so long it just comes natural. But it takes work to make changes in our life sometime. And if you want to make some good changes and quick changes, turn it over to the Lord. We can't do it on our own. And that's why Jesus says, abide in me and I abide in you, and I'll make a lot of good changes in your life. And he was saying this to the disciples. He says that to me. He says that to you. If we'll abide in him, we can make some good changes in our lives. To stop going to those places inappropriate. And what a privilege it is to replace the old ways with some new. God's ways always for the sake of Christ. In in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if we be in Christ, we are a what? New creation, or a new creature. Then old things have what? Passed away, and new things have come. Those are the changes that automatically, don't all automatically take place. Sometimes God removes things in our lives instantly. Sometimes it's a working process in our lives. But if we want the good things to take place in our lives, then we turn our lives completely over to the Lord for those revisions. An artist was painting a picture of Jesus, and he spent much time on it, making sure that every hair, every line was just right. And someone watching was impressed and said, you must really love him to spend that much time painting him, referring to Jesus. And the painter said, yes, I do love him. But the fact is, I know my heart that if I loved him more, I would paint him better. And my ending remark right here to that would be, we all paint Jesus Christ every day. May we paint him better with our lives. By the changes he makes in our lives, by the revisions that we allow him to do in our lives, it can make our lives better. So in our society today, you know, as we go about, as people see our lives, have we made things better for others who follow us, making them wanting to know the person who knows that we know, Jesus Christ? May we leave a legacy of behind of those who want to make a decision in Christ, because they see the life that we live is much better than what they have and what they know. It's something to think about this morning, living a changed life. And when Paul and Silas, as they were talking and trying to reason with these legalistic people, and we have a lot of that in our world today, none of that would change until the heart changes. If our heart's not right, there's not going to be any changes. And when our heart is right, God will change and make our mind, our ears, our thoughts, and everything in line with what will make our lives better. It's us, others, but the number one is Christ. What is he doing in your life to make those needed changes? Do we have our spiritual ears on in order that God will come in and make us just like Christ? Heavenly Father, he's wanting to do that in each one of us. Change our thoughts, our words, our actions, and everything to make us what we ought to be to lead others to Christ. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you that your word gives us the principles, instructions to how our life can change on a daily basis. And Lord, we know that sometimes we think everything's okay, but Lord, down deep inside, it's our heart that we need to look at, to examine, to make sure that our thoughts and our words, our actions are pleasing to you. That other people around us that hear us is not offended, but are edified and lifted up, as your scripture tells us. Lord, you are so loving and so caring, and extend grace to each one of us. And every one of us here today has spiritual needs. We have physical needs, emotional needs, and you can fill each one. You can heal us of all of that if we're willing to surrender our complete self to you. Our heart needs to be in the right place. Our heart needs to be bent towards you. Then when we start our mornings with you, our day with you, the rest of the day, no matter what happens, we'll still be in line with you. If there's anyone here today, Lord, that doesn't know you personally, we just pray that your Holy Spirit has already been working, already nurturing that heart. Anyone here today that hasn't made the decision to some service, to serve you, to make themselves available to you, Lord, and you've been working in our lives and preparing them for future service in this church or wherever, Lord, we pray that that decision will be made known clear today. If there's anyone here that looking for a church home, hasn't made that decision yet, Lord, help them with that. Make it clear. Lord, that's what your Holy Spirit does when he speaks to our hearts. Helps us to better understand your will, your purpose for each one of us. And when you make that clear, it's our responsibility to take action and to respond. And we pray that will happen this morning. We praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.